Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.
It's the catch up with Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker. Big show today. Can I just say before we get into what happened on the show today, to go and check out that new Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga film, A Star Is Born. I know I'm late to the party because everyone's sort of already seen it, but I really enjoyed it. I dug
it. It's old news, Luke.
You know, I sat there, Dobbo, and you're an expert in matters like this, so I'm going to go to you with this question. The whole movie, even though I was sitting there, and it's a very heavy movie. It deals with addiction and it deals with love and all sort of artistic merits because, you know, do you sell your soul to try and sell albums or do you stick to the truth and just, tell it like it is and say your truth and all this sort of stuff like Bradley Cooper's character does. But while all of these heavy themes were running through the movie, I was sitting there trying to work out if Lady Gaga is a good sort or not. And sometimes I would go, yes, she is. She's really hot. And other times I'd go, ugh. And you're an expert, Dobbo, so over to you, mate. Lady Gaga, good sort or not?
When she is back to her natural self, who she really is, and doesn't have different coloured hair and change, she's a good sort.
Right.
She's naturally beautiful.
Yeah, she is quite attractive.
Yeah, quite attractive. I mean, you know, talented, different.
Talented, mate. She can sing.
Sing. Mm. Yes, she's good. I'm pleased you've gone and seen that. What's that got to do with the show, really?
It's got nothing to do. It's just
do you know
on my
what
mind.
I find interesting is that when you were talking about this before, I asked you who you went with and you said you went by yourself.
Yeah.
That's strange to me.
Margot thinks that I'm
weird
because I go to the movies by myself. But honestly, Margot, in my adult life, I reckon I've been to at least 50% of the movies I've seen by myself. And
I have never been to the movies by myself.
You are weird.
You think that's weird?
No, I don't think that's weird. You are weird naturally, but it's not weird that you go to the movies on your own. You need to see someone.
Why?
If you can't have 2 minutes, 2 hours on your own in the movie
cinema.
Who are you
then going to discuss it with, like at the end and cry with and talk about the movie with in the moment?
You do it on your catch up after your radio show like I'm doing now. Doesn't everyone have this venue as an outlet?
Their outlet.
Look, you go to the movies with
someone.
Margot, you go to the movies with someone. You can't talk to them.
Same.
I'm a social being, though.
Yeah, but I know what it is. See, I'm actually fun to be around, so it's actually cool for me to just hang out by myself because I'm a lot of fun. And I get why you wouldn't want to.
What do we have on today's show?
I have lots of friends, and you have none.
What do we have on today's show?
Oh, Dobbo wants to go, so we've got to get into what actually happened on the show today. Well, I don't know, Dobbo. You're closer to the ball, mate. What did you like today? Do you want to get into your Wayne Bennett stuff? We really patted Dobbo on the front today.
And on Friday we were never going to talk about Wayne Bennett again, we were again today.
Look,
talking
we
about
blew
it.
A bit of wind up Dobbo's jacksie this afternoon because it turns out he was completely right on the Wayne Bennett deal. So we better put that in the catch up for you guys.
Plastic bags. Margot had a great break on plastic bags. And you know, she's calling her husband. She suppressed him into the point that he has no returning. His manhood is gone.
Right.
He's now a stay-at-home dad. And she talked about the plastic bags, and a lot of other people have got the same thing about plastic bags as well.
Yeah, and that's about all that was good about today's show. So we'll wrap it up there for you. You can hear it for yourself on the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now. Actually, I spoke to Dobbo yesterday afternoon, Margot, and he was filthy because this whole Wayne Bennett drama about Bennett getting flicked from the Broncos went down. And if you thought Wayne Bennett was upset, Dobbo was upset. He had to give his Sunday up. Wasn't happy at all.
Well,
it was inevitable, though, wasn't it?
Well, not really. I mean, it was only on Friday's show where we had a lot of our listeners giving it to Dobbo, saying, oh, Dobbo, you've been telling us for months now that Wayne Bennett's going to get sacked from the Broncos and he's not going to be coaching at the Broncos in 2019. And then Bennett comes out on Friday and says, oh, we'll definitely be at the Broncos in 2019. And you copped it, Dobbo, pretty much good and proper. Were you getting it at all? I've been meaning to ask you. Were you getting it at all on social media? Because I know a lot of our listeners on
horrific.
Were you?
Yes, unbelievable.
What were they saying, Dobbo? Were they being mean to you?
Drop off. You've got no idea. You never get anything right. Blah, blah, blah. Like, just keyboard warriors. And they got personal. But that's all right.
And you've maintained always, though, that Wayne
was going.
100%. And it was just a matter of how, when, and where. And unfortunately, Wayne Bennett doing the backflip and saying that he was staying gave the Broncos no opportunity other than to sack him. Because this could not have gone on for another 12 months.
They wanted him to walk. They wanted him to walk and give him the right way.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it.
So sad that it's ended like this, isn't it?
We got to go back, like, just for any of you jobbers that were giving it to Dobbo, and there were a lot of you.
Yeah.
On Friday, a lot of
Leave our Dobbo alone.
A lot of you came out and you were going, oh, Dobbo, you've been saying he's going to get sacked and you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, you never get anything right. We're going back now. This is late October. So this is, what are we in now? We're in December. So we're going back like 6-7 weeks ago now. Have a listen to Dobbo on the show.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Wayne Bennett won't be coaching the Brisbane Broncos next year. It hasn't been announced. It's not official. And Wayne Bennett will say that he wants to stay. He'll be at South Sydney next year. South Sydney want Brisbane to release Wayne Bennett so that he can take up the coaching role next year and Anthony Seibold can come to Brisbane. My understanding is it is still on. South Sydney expected Wayne Bennett to turn up on the 3rd of December as their head coach, to the point that there'd been some training camps organised, an army training camp organised for South Sydney instead of the AIS training camp. If you were a betting man at the moment, it's 80% certain that he won't be here next year.
Well, it's bloody 100% now, Dobbo. You got that wrong.
Yeah, punted.
So you turned up at his place yesterday, and what? Today. How's the relationship?
I got told yesterday morning from a bloke. A bloke rang me and said, don't turn your phone off today, which means...
Something's going down.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of mustard about that could be put on someone's tongue. Anyway, it just went down. Wayne rang me. I was supposed to have a sit-down interview with Wayne Bennett today. He rings me yesterday morning. I'm driving in there. I actually had Will in the car, and I said, listen, Wayne, I've got Will in the car, and you're on speaker. And
Your son.
Yeah, and he goes, well, you're going to learn a lot about life today, Will. That's what Wayne said.
Imagine being a 13-year-old.
Oh, Will was hanging on every single word. Yeah. Will goes, hello, sir.
Did he really?
He said, yeah. He goes, hello, sir, because he's obviously at a school where they call him. He was like, and he was there in the front seat. It was me and him. We're driving down the Bruce Highway, and Wayne rings. So we get into the conversation, and Wayne's talking about everything. And he said to me, what's going to happen? And I said, you're going to get sacked today, Wayne. And he goes, yeah, probably. So
was it like you were telling him or
he said, what do you think is going to happen today? I said, I think you're going to get sacked today or tomorrow or somewhere there. I'd been speaking to other journalists as well, and they all were getting the same, whether or not I wasn't getting mine from the Broncos, but some people I'm very close to were giving me mail that, and it was coming out of Sydney that, you know what,
he's gone.
It's on. And that was coming from South. And I said to him, you're going to get sacked. I said, mate, do the right thing. I said, protect your legacy and resign and say, listen, we've got to get this. Paul White's a good human being.
Yeah. So when you say to Bennett, resign, protect your legacy, what does he say to you?
He said no. He wanted them to be accountable. So it was like he forced the Broncos to give... There was no other...
He forced their hand.
He forced their hand. Paul White was visibly
devastated.
Upset and devastated that he'd had to sack... Arguably Brisbane's greatest ever coach, could be arguably the greatest coach of the NRL, had to sack him via voicemail.
And a good mate.
And a mate of his. But 30 years of history. It is gone. That was hard. Carl Morris was the same. I spoke to Carl Morris away from the press conference yesterday when I was there. And he said, we wanted Wayne Bennett to stay on as a coaching advisor / figurehead to help guide the next coach through. They gave him 5 years off the back of it. 5 years. So that would put him at 75. He wouldn't do it.
Why?
Well, pride. He wanted to coach. So, I don't know if it was pride or he wanted to go out in his own terms, but he doubled down on Friday. And the Broncos, they're the most powerful. They're bigger than one person.
I heard Lachlan Murdoch made the decision, bang, you gone.
Straight away.
When you go to Wayne Bennett's place today, what happens? You walk in
there. I walk in there. He's in there. And there was nobody else in there. And he said, have a seat. And I sat down at his kitchen table. And he's upset. I mean, his coaching staff have been moved on at Brisbane. So they're going to get paid out. But they've effectively been moved on. They'll go
to other jobs.
Gardening duty. They're taking gardening.
They go to Wynnum or Redcliffe or somewhere.
Yeah, they just go to other places. And, you know, he's upset about that. And he's not taking them to South. He's not taking them to South Sydney, so he's going down there on his own back. But the bottom line was, he's a bit confused. I mean, you know, he's on a plane now as we speak. He'll arrive in Sydney at 5:30, and he starts the next chapter. He's a South Sydney coach.
But was he like, when you sat down with him today at his house, is he like, F the Broncos, mate, they can go and get stuffed? Like, what's, is he?
Bro, I don't think you'll ever get that. I mean, it's a little bit more personal for him. Yesterday he was upset. Today he was a little bit more angry. And I'm not going to lie, he's angry. He's blaming Paul White and Carl Morris. But it's clearly, I've been on this from the get-go. It was not Paul White and Carl Morris. They need to, they are safe in this. They did everything they possibly could not to get to that position yesterday.
Mm.
And they did. They sacked him and they've got to live with that. But they shouldn't be.
It seems like Bennett just went rogue, went troppo.
Well, he doubled down, mate. He wanted, he felt it was all about that extra year extension and it was him not going out on his own terms. And he thought the he was bigger than the club. And, mate, the club just said in the end, enough.
After Wayne Bennett has had this conversation with you in the car yesterday and you and he's poured his heart out to you and he's revealed a lot of intimate stuff, at the end of it, does your son, your 13-year-old son, Will, say, see you later, sir?
No. What happened was, Dad said, he promised me an interview. And when I got home last night, and obviously Wayne reneged on that, Will goes, did you get your interview that he promised you? I said, no. He goes, oh, stuff him.
Margot, I reckon she's got a bit of breaking news here, Dobbo, on the back of the Jeff Horn and Anthony Mundine fight. The debacle that was the Anthony Mundine and Jeff Horn fight on Friday night.
You would have just about sat down, got comfortable in your seat, and then stood back up to leave again.
I thought I was watching the highlights, and it turned out I watched the whole fight. Fair dinkum. 96 seconds it went. I'm one of these idiots that actually thought Mundine may have won. I don't know what I was thinking. 96 seconds. You said to me, Dobbo, he's no chance. You said you were talking to someone.
I was talking to a bloke who knows boxing very well, and I just said to him, and also, he said, mate, he's going to punch him into next night. And when we went and looked at the odds, if you got to go anything by, I think Horn was like $1.15 or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
Horn was $1.15 and Mundine was out past $5. But
he just didn't even look like he was in the game. Like, but I watched the video back yesterday and I was just like, he had no chance.
No. And you know, the punch that knocked him out, it wasn't even a clean hit. I reckon he hit Mundine's glove and Mundine's glove, I reckon Mundine
hit himself.
Mundine knocked himself out. Fair dinkum.
I think it was the first punch that rattled him.
The first punch rattled him.
Yeah.
But the punch that sent him packing was Mundine's glove smacking into his own head.
It jarred him, didn't it? He went all stiff in his body.
He dead set knocked himself out. But Margot came in this morning and Dobbo and I just were laughing. We went, no way.
No.
Go on, Margot.
If you're a newsbreaker, go ahead.
Margot's got some. Margot's breaking.
Show no fear and go.
No. So a mate of mine is in the Mundine camp and we do some boxing together. He's also a dad at my kid's school. But he was saying when I saw him at a birthday party on Saturday that Mundine was really at peace with the fact that he lost. He felt like a world of weight was off his shoulders. He was okay with it. He got beat fair and square and he's good. I saw him this morning and I said, how's he feeling now? And he said, he rings me this morning. He says, I'm not happy with how I went down. I think I'm ready for a rematch.
Mundine's ready for a rematch.
Mundine's ready for a rematch.
So Mundine rang your mate this morning and said, I'm ready for a rematch.
I'm ready for a rematch. You might see a Horn-Mundine rematch.
It won't happen.
I said, no one would buy into it, surely.
No one's buying into it. Everyone felt so foolish for paying their $60 to watch it in the first place. No one's going to fall for that again, are they, Dobbo?
They got 30,000 people there. That's a lot more than I was anticipating.
30,000 people and the TV sales were through the
roof. It was the third
roof.
Highest fight that made pay-per-view have ever. It was Danny Green Mundine. It was, what's his name, Manny Pacquiao.
And then
Horn,
this one.
And then Horn Mundine.
So there was a big earn in it.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the success of this fight. I'm saying if there was a rematch between Horn and Mundine.
You'd be lucky to get 1,000 people to it. There's no way.
I wouldn't pay $5 for
Mundine
it.
Mundine will never fight again.
Nah, he's gone.
He's done.
I mean, Mundine might want a rematch. He's not going to get one, I don't reckon.
He might have to fight me.
You could beat him, Margot. I reckon you could beat him.
I said that this morning to Chris. I said, I reckon I could have beaten him. I reckon you could have too.
Margot, would you make weight, though?
No. Okay. He'd have to come up 20 kilos and fight heavyweight.
Hey, so anyway, like 96 seconds Mundine lasted. Anyone ever lasted in a job less than that? That's got to be a record. He starts a job, he lasted 96 seconds before. We should open the phones
up. I lasted a day in a job.
There's a good one. Okay, there's a better one to start with. Dobbo's,
what were you doing?
Dobbo's lasted one
day.
I was driving
seafood, and I got the job on Friday. I took the van with me for the weekend. I might have gone to a rugby match after the Saturday morning when I've done the seafood delivery, and I might have done a donut on a field. It just so happened.
Was that your old school, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at my old school. It just so happened that somebody reported me, and by the time I got the van back, I was sacked. So it was 24 hours from the job to I dropped the van back, and I never drove for the seafood company ever again.
Look, I don't reckon we're going to break Mundine lasting on the job for 96 seconds, but we might be able to break yours, Dobbo. 24 hours.
24 hours.
Before you got the flick. If you've got a story for us, hit the phones right now. We've got a cool prize to give away, by the way, as well. Wish I knew what it was, but don't have the sheet of paper, but this is the sort of professional that I am.
Are you bribing the listeners to call through?
Yeah, we got here we go. We got Brisbane International. Oh, Brisbane International's coming to town. So anyway, if you've got a story for us, then give us a call. Anthony Mundine lasted 96 seconds on Friday night on his job before he was knocked out. We've opened the phones up. Dobbo lasted 24 hours, but Curtis might be able to outdo you, Dobbo. Well, what's your story, Curtis?
Hey, I was a chippy and I was doing some roofing, and I actually managed to get fired. I had my job on Friday, went out drinking, was meant to turn up on Saturday, didn't turn up because I drank a little too much. And then I ended up, they called me up on Sunday going, can you come back on Monday? I said, yep, sure thing. Had some drinks to celebrate getting my job back, and got fired again on Monday when I didn't turn up again.
Jeez. So are you saying that out of the 3 days you worked at the company, two of them were sick days?
Yeah, pretty much.
You'll be in radio with that kind of work ethic before you know it, mate. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. Hey, Bingo's called through as well. What's your story, Bingo?
Yeah, back in the 70s, I got a job with J.J. Richards out around Tambourine Village. They had the old toilets out there, you know, the wooden one.
Oh, yeah.
With the pans that used to slide in with sawdust in them. Well, you slide them in all right and then carry the other ones out. Bit of splash on the way back to the truck. I lasted 4 hours. When I got home, my mother hosed me and said, you're not going back.
Oh, your mother got you sacked.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's it.
What a mummy's boy.
The end of me.
Do you want to do your that's a crap job joke, Margot?
Oh, I was thinking about it.
Margot?
Yeah, no, I would.
We had a similar story last week, Bingo, and Margot went, oh, that's a crap job. And then, no joke, she just about rolled on the floor for 20 minutes and how funny she was.
I believe it.
Hey, someone's got it, Bingo.
I've got something for you.
Okay, tell me.
I've figured out that with your mouth flapping all the time, it doesn't strengthen your jaw, does it?
What?
No, what does it do, Bingo?
Well, it does nothing because Mundine's is pretty soft, isn't it? And his mouth never stops flapping.
Hey, good on you, Bingo. Thanks for your call. Who else has called through, Dobbo?
Yeah, James from Shaler Park. How you going?
Good, yourself.
All right, what's your story, mate? How long did you last?
My dad. He was a bricklayer in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But he got to a job site and said, nah, job's closed. You know, go home. So he went on the way home, he found another job and took his shirt off because it was a stinking hot day. And they said, oh, no, we can't have you here. You know, this is a church that's a bit, or a Christian school. But, you know, here's your money for the day, see you later. And then he found another job on the way home.
You got three jobs.
Three jobs in one day.
Yeah.
You got more jobs than the CES, is it? Is that what it is? Hey?
Yeah.
I don't know. More jobs than the classified section. I don't know. They're trying to get out of this.
More jobs than seek.com.
More jobs. Bring it up to. Malgo's giving it a 2018 reference, not a 1990.
Just keeping it modern.
Hey, thanks for your call, brother. Appreciate it.
That's all right.
Hey, Fletch from Chermside.
Hey, Dolo.
How you going, mate? What do you reckon?
I reckon Mal Meninga's political career in the ACT probably the shortest job in history.
Remind us, Fletch, what was it? How long did it last?
Mal went on the air on Talkback Radio in Canberra after he'd finished with the Raiders and what have you, announced he was running at the next election, and about 35 seconds later went, No, I can't do this.
It was the first question. The first question stumped him, and it was an absolute softball. So it was one that any other politician would just love to get and bang on about for an hour. They asked him, they said, Mel, why should we vote for you? And he went, well, I think that, I can't do this.
Fletch, spot on, mate. Absolutely spot on.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Hey, good on you, Fletch. Thanks for reminding us of that, mate. We appreciate it.
No worries, Ash. See ya.
Nah. Hey, on there. Hang on, mate. We're gonna fling you off over to the Brisbane International to come to town December 30. And you got a double pass to go to the Brisbane International, mate. And it's all because Ashley Bradnam's a really top bloke. Good on you, mate. Well done.
Oh, I'd just like to do a big shout out to everybody in Queensland and across Australia that have embraced the plastic bag ban. Sales of plastic bags are down 80%, Luke.
Oh, they're down 80%. Well, we used to get them for free.
No, I know, but nobody's buying them anymore because they're
no one bought
doing
them previously.
The right thing. They're initiating taking their, their reusable bags with them.
Are you saying that the use of plastic bags is down 80% or the sale of plastic bags is down 80%?
Because 80% drop in the consumption of plastic bags.
Okay, so the use of plastic
nationwide.
Bags. All right. Yeah, well, I've been a little bit tight. Like, I'll go to the supermarket now and to save myself 15 cents, I'll carry stuff that usually I always would have got a plastic bag for.
Yeah.
And even worse, sometimes I steal the plastic bags. I've got to that point, Dobbo, where
you,
I'm like...
Hang on. Whoa.
I'll go to the self-checkout, and if I'm spending a good deal of money, something about paying 15 cents for the plastic bag...
But it's only 15 cents.
I know, but I'm like, I'm paying all this money for your groceries. I'm going to flog the plastic bag. I'm not proud of it. I'm just being honest. But not all the time, but I'd say 50% of the time I'm now stealing the plastic bag.
You know, that could be known as just a common thief.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. You're not one. You steal stuff in the self-checkout.
Have you not stolen a plastic bag yet?
No. He's stolen steak in the checkout, not just plastic bags. Well, we're going to throw stones here.
That was an accident.
Let's not live in glass
houses. That
was
an accident. Like, and, you know, I went back and offered the money. And
whatever, mate.
The lady said, don't worry about it. Keep on going. But look, the plastic bag fiasco is really polarizing. I always forget them, so I'm always buying them. So I'm actually stockpiling more
Same
and more
here.
And more and more, which is a real worry.
You know. Broom cupboard still full of them. I'm really bad at it. Corey's really good at it because Corey now, in our bit of a role reversal change now that I'm working and he's at home, he's been doing the groceries and he's gone and bought himself for $50 this gadget, and it's like a one big green bag, one big red bag, a blue bag, and then a grey one, and you slide them into your trolley and it sections out your groceries. So you put all your cold stuff in this one, all your bits in this one, and then you just load them onto the conveyor belt and then back into those bags, and then you take them out of your car into your house, and then you unload them from there.
When
it's genius.
Corey Parker turned into Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, no,
he's become
he
Mrs.
Is,
Mum.
Mate, he's OCD with
he's
this.
He's really good at it, though, because I forget, and I run in, and then I think, oh, my bags are in the car, but I never steal them.
Would he write a shopping list?
He writes a shopping list.
Whoa, what a nerd.
Monday mornings, that's his thing. He goes grocery shopping.
He writes a shopping
list.
He
writes a shopping list. He only shops on a Monday.
Hey, Dobbo, you've never seen a more beaten human being in your life, a more defeated human being than a dude walking around with a shopping list in
the world. Really good at it. How many kids in tow?
Two kids in tow. A 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
You don't feel any guilt at all
about
what you've created?
No, because you know what? We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I refuse to take kids grocery shopping because I just don't think. If you have a choice and you don't have to, then why would you? But he chooses to because he has Tuesdays and Wednesdays where the kids are at kindy. And he could quite easily do grocery shopping on those days without kids, but he doesn't. He chooses to go on a Monday. He chooses to take the kids, and so I just leave him
you
up to
You should be ashamed of yourself.
His own, you know.
You've created this. I mean, I feel sorry for him.
He loves it.
Henpecked.
Well, how do you get through the shopping experience, Dobbo? You just buy the shopping bags all the time. You don't use them.
And it's much to KG's angst. But, she gets quite upset.
Producer Nick was in here the other day and he said, I may or may not have stolen this bag. And I was like, what do you mean? How do you forget to pay for it? Because you've got to scan them now. Like, you never used to do that.
He's just saying that to protect himself. When I say I may or may not, that means I have.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's
what he's 13, 27, 10. I want to know, are you stealing shopping bags like Luke and Dobbo and Nick and everybody else?
Hey, don't bring me into these petty crimes.
Have you got...
If I'm going to steal something, I steal something worthy, like a steak.
Maybe people have conditioned themselves to taking the bags in, but there's still a few of you that are stealing them. So give us a call. We want to hear your plastic bag stories. How are you going with it? Are you faring well?
Or are you flogging them?
Are you flogging them?
How many people are doing it on the coast? It would be interesting. Anyway, we'll take your calls next.
Plastic bag consumption is down 80%. And since the plastic bag incentive has come into play, boys, 1.5 billion plastic bags have been saved from going into the environment.
Yeah, well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, you know, that is
it's a fantastic initiative. And, you know, we need to be more concerned about the health and well-being of our earth because our children are going to grow up and live in it. Unlike you, Luke Bradnam, you tend to pinch them every now and then, and we want to get your calls to see if people are still...
Margot, can I defend myself for a moment?
Sure, go.
It's not so much that I steal them, it's just that sometimes I forget to pay for them. Thank you.
Okay. Jason from Southport, do you forget to pay for your plastic bags?
No, I'm not personally, but I was talking to one of the checkout operators the other day, and she was saying people come in, grab three or four brand new bags, and as they're walking around the store, they scrunch them all up so that when they get to the checkout, they look like they're brand new, they've been used before.
Cheeky buggers.
Because you could claim, I see it. Yeah, the bags are reusable,
yeah.
So you could claim that you've bought it back.
That's correct.
I know. Look, and for me, it's not an issue of the 15 cents. For me, it's more, I'm spending 78 bucks here or whatever it is, and I go, you can't fling me a bloody plastic bag, you know, and I've bought so many of the frigging things.
Well, this is the whole point, is that if you pay for them, then you don't utilise them, which keeps them out of our oceans and of our dumping grounds, etc.
Honestly, I think I might have 60 or 70 of those bags for 15 cents a pop sitting under my sink at the moment.
Well, put them in the back of your car and take them with you.
Then I'll just be sitting in the back of the car. When I get to the supermarket, I do not think about it until I get to the checkout. I just don't. I don't think of it. Hey, is that right, mate? So there's a scammers going on left, right and centre. Is that's what's happening, you're telling us?
Absolutely. And my partner's got a great big linen press full of these shopping bags that we just keep buying. She just uses them as rubbish bags and throws them in the bin.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing as well.
We didn't grow up in a household unless there was a cupboard under the sink stuffed full of plastic bags as a kid, was there?
Yeah, that's I've still got it.
Just keeping on the tradition. John from Mudrabar. What's your situation? Do you steal the plastic bags or are you a good citizen and you take them in with you?
I'm a good citizen. I'm all prepared. My wife and I have all the bags in the car. We just take them in with us.
Yeah, but do you agree with it?
No, I think it's a terrible idea. I hate the whole concept.
Me too.
Is you're just well thought out. That's why, because you before you go in, you think about the fact that you've got to have a plastic bag. We've all got to get into that mindset for
this
system.
He's a bit of a thinking man now, John.
Yeah.
John, what do you think about people like Luke Bradnam stealing the 15-cent bags?
I was going to say, how can you admit to stealing those bags? One day you're going to get a knock on the door. It's going to be the cops.
He'll hand over all his plastic bags.
That ain't
he's got.
The first time he's been in trouble with the police.
No, that's true.
He'll be like, here, you can have them back.
I could be, yes, yeah. I tell you.
The only good thing is you don't have as many bags to carry in. I used to hate carrying in 20 bags of shopping, where now it's like six, so that's not bad.
Yeah, it's true. You're like, I'm not saying I've flogged them all the time. I'm saying I have flogged them in the past, but it is amazing how much you can stuff into a bag when you have to pay for the bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I used to fill it up a third of the way, and now she's up to the brim, mate.
Nah,
she's...
chuck the milk in with the bread.
Yeah, dude, who cares? Yeah. Who cares if there's ice cream sitting on top of, Danishes or whatever. Hey, appreciate your call, mate. Thanks very much. And by the way, this is our final week of the show for season 2018, which is good, actually. We're on holidays for a little bit, which is nice. How about what happened to me, though, Margot?
What happened?
On Saturday, I had an interesting experience because, well, first of all, I went out to Oakey on Saturday.
Where's that?
Oh, where is it, Dobbo?
It's ages away, yeah.
It's 25 k's west of Toowoomba.
Yeah.
So you go to Toowoomba and then you're heading towards Dolby and you come to a little town called Oakey.
Mm. What were you going there for?
Well, long story, but my friend Lauren is a violinist and she had to get a violin service, so I drove out
Hang
to Oakey.
On. Yeah, first you day, spent the weekend.
First day of summer and it was...
You went to Oakey for...
I spent 6 hours in a car driving to Oakey to drop off a violin.
Drop off a violin?
Yeah. Anyway.
Just you and your friend?
Just me and my friend.
Why was the violin going to Oakey?
Because that's where
the chief...
There's a dude in Oakey, of all places. This violin is like an expensive violin. It was like $10,000 15 years ago. So they could be 20 grand now. I don't know. But this guy in Oakey makes bloody good violins and you've got to get it serviced. So,
yeah, okay. Anyway. Is she a bloody good violinist?
Yeah, she's good. Okay. She's very good. But anyway, we drop it off and we get back and I'm dead tired. I don't know why, probably because I just drove 6 hours, but for some reason I'm
takes
dead.
Takes it out of you.
But I've got to work. I work 7 days a week. I do the radio Monday to Friday, do the weather on the weekends, and I'm like, oh God, I wish I could go to sleep right
now.
Have
a nap.
Like I just wanted to sleep.
Not a nap.
But I couldn't because I had to go do the weather for Channel 9. And there was this low pressure system that could turn into a cyclone. There was actually, there was a little bit to go with it. So.
Okay.
I went and read up on it. I wrote the weather. I did all the work. I head off to go and present the weather. get dressed up, all the bit. I get out there, standing in front of the camera, and they go, "What are you doing?" I go, "What do you mean?" They go, "You're on holidays."
Oh.
That's how I found out I was on holidays.
You're not reading the weather tonight.
No, he's not reading it for 2 months.
I'm on holidays. I'm on holidays from the TV
all
of December and all of January. But I'd done all the work.
Done all the work.
I'd done all of the work.
So did you still do it?
No. They had someone else in there. Presenting it's the easy bit. Writing it is the
hard work.
So that's how I found out that I was on holidays.
Did you go and have a sleep?
No, I went out. I went to a birthday party.
But how good you could go and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yesterday would have been one of the first Sundays you've had off, I reckon, in 3 years.
Well, it's one of the first Sundays I've had off this year. And I went, but mind you, because I was out till 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning.
Party animal.
And then I had nippers at 7:30 yesterday morning at Northcliffe. And I rocked up there having not had a single drink on Saturday night. But because I was so sleep deprived, I reckon I was the most hungover man on the Gold Coast still, just because I had no bloody sleep
this morning.
If you think Dobbo's a half-decent auctioneer,
set him out.
You'll love the dealer wholesale cars that go under the hammer at Southside Auto Auction, Springwood. Southsideautoauctions.com.au.